The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
We're going to start with our regular commuter slot with Conor Faulkner, transport consultant, and we're also joined on the line by Kerry County Councillor Jackie Healy-Ray and Mark McSherry, Sligo TD for Leitrim, South Donegal, North Roscommon. Good morning and welcome to you all. Conor's in studio with me, the others on the line. We want to talk about two things. The Society of the Irish Motor Industry yesterday urging people to cut back on their driving by not taking unnecessary journeys and also removing sports equipment and any other heavy items and pumping up the tyres to the requisite pressure to help deal with rising petrol prices. Jackie Healy-Ray, your thoughts?
My thoughts are very simple, Pat. It's very easy for people like this to talk about driving less, but they simply obviously don't understand the geography of this country. Because when you look at places like, for example, where I represent in County Kerry, people don't have an alternative. They're talking about, oh, well, don't cut down on unnecessary trips. What's unnecessary trips? Because even if it's to go for a pound of butter, they've no choice but to sit into their car and drive because of their proximity to more urban centres or local or rural shops, which are on the decline now also. So, like, what is the alternative where you don't have a flutter of services like you would have in the likes of the Dublins and Cork and Limerick? What are these people supposed to do? Stay at home and not exist? It's not practical. It's not a sensible solution.
It could be understood that instead of going to the shops for a pound of butter or a kilo of butter and then the following day going in for a sliced pan, that you might get the two on the same day.
But why not actually make a meaningful intervention on what is happening with the cost of fuel? Because we are now at a breaking point. Because people that I'm speaking to on the ground now every single day, they're finding it increasingly more, there's more pressure coming on them now every single day. Fuel shot up again last night, and it's beginning to get to the point now that people are beginning to question whether it's actually affordable for them to work anymore. Because you have to understand, people drive for a living too, and it's not they don't have an alternative of not sitting into their car in the morning and driving to their place of work, or again, those people who actually are in a car for a living. So those people are at a breaking point now, because the show simply can't go on any further with the way the fuel,
they represent the motor industry and they often give good advice, and one of it is make sure your tires are inflated to the correct pressure. You will save fuel by so doing. How many of the people who complain about fuel ever check their tires? How many people drive around with two sets of golf clubs and all sorts of stuff in the boot, all of which is costing energy? I mean, these are practical tips that might help some people.
They're practical tips, but unfortunately, given the situation that we're in at the moment with the cost of fuel, it infuriates people when they hear things like this. It's no different to Minister Ryan's comment about driving slower. Practical tip, yes. Perhaps not, again, you have to judge the crowd that you're trying to tell these things to. People are in such a pressurized environment at the moment with the cost of fuel, especially what we're talking about. They simply are infuriated when they hear things like this, because they feel that government should be making more meaningful interventions on the price of fuel, because at the moment they're still taking something like 60% off of every fuel sale. So, like, it's kind of, again, it comes back to this thing of it's infuriating for people when they'll hear things like this, because again, all they're seeing every single day is the figures on the boards and on the forecourts going up and up.
All right, Jackie, thank you for that. Mark McSherry, TD, what's your reaction to this kind of advice?
Well, look, the SMI, I have a job to do in terms of a representative organisation for the motor industry. And look, you welcome any practical tips that they're going to give. But look, they're very limited in real terms what they can do in terms of the rises in cost of living. This is firmly in the political and government court in terms of what, as a parliament and as a government, we're prepared to do to alleviate the very real difficulties that people are having. And
what's the reaction, though, of your constituents? constituents. I mean, the very nature of your constituency, it's substantially rural. So what do people think when they hear this kind of stuff coming from Dublin?
Well, again, I mean, I don't want to give out about the SMI per se, but Minister Ryan, for example, would have strongly advocated some things that, frankly, people in rural and regional Ireland find insulting, where, you know, we'll car share, or, you know, if you drive slower. I mean, these are things that people already know, but what they are seeking to do is to survive. And when you're paying over €2 per litre with, you know, the better part maybe of half of that heading towards government coffers, I think it displays a level of tone deafness that's unbecoming a government minister at this time. And while there have been, you know, some improvements in March, we had reductions in excise, that's effectively been wiped out by now with continuing rises.
So what would your proposal be?
I think we need to revisit, albeit on a temporary basis, carbon tax, VAT, excise duty, the 2 cent levy per litre for the National Oil Reserve Agency. These all provide scope in what is an emergency situation with an exponential and very rapid rise in inflation, and particularly fuel inflation, that ministers are going to have to take on board.
So levies and carbon taxes to go. There's little they can do, they say, about VAT. They have acted on the excises, you know. So all other levies that are attached to fuel to be eliminated on a temporary basis.
Yes, or at an absolute minimum, reduced substantially on a temporary basis. We have to be cognizant that, and like Councillor Healy-Ray has rightly pointed out, most of the country, half of the population, in fact, do not live in the large urban centres who have choices, who have alternatives in terms of public transportation. And what you're ultimately talking about here is families who need to travel for school, for work, for day-to-day living, and it's not a case of forward planning in terms of your weekly shop, which most people do. And to expect that, as I said, and I have to say it again, is to display a level of tone deafness when it comes to the need of over half the country's population.
By the way, the issue about carpooling, I mean, the other day on the programme, one listener texted and said, no, I'm not going to share my car, even though I have a commute and I'm stuck in traffic a lot of the time. I like peace and quiet. I don't really want to share my private space with somebody else. Is that a common experience in rural Ireland?
Well, I mean, I don't think it even arises, to be quite frankly. I mean, and again, Councillor Healy-Ray alluded to the geography of the country. Now, we still live in a free country. If people have a mode of transportation, whether it's micromobility, a car, or whatever, and they're happy to give somebody a lift, sure. I mean, that is not an answer in the short term to what is struggling families all over this country. That's a cultural shift, which, of course, we'd encourage. But in the absence of alternatives of public transportation, you've got to deal immediately with the rising costs because people just simply cannot afford them.
A couple of texts come in. It's only 9 in the morning and the Healy-Rays already talking through their hats, anti-anything positive. Rural dwellers had no cars for years and years and still managed to get everywhere they needed to get, to school, to the shops, with no issues. Get a bike, take a lift, or just walk. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that comment is also tone deaf, and it's definitely from an urban dweller. Because I'll give you an example. People walked to school because there were more rural schools. People walked from their homes because there were more rural houses. People walked to the post office because there was a rural post office. It was a rural shop. There was a rural Garda station.
And also, I would point out, Mark, that there were no trucks and cars rumbling down the road at 100 kilometres an hour in inappropriately speed-limited areas at 100k.
Well, of course, that's another issue too. I mean, I didn't know I was coming on to talk about speed limits.
But no, do you know what I mean? The inappropriate speed limits. I remember the late Gay Byrne used to always say, the speed limit is not a target. You know, you don't have to hit 100k just because it's 100k on a particular narrow stretch of road.
We agree about that. And look, people should always drive sensibly. And people are not stupid. They know if they drive a little bit slower that they can save an element of fuel. But what we're talking is window dressing in terms of what really needs to be done in terms of a tangible effort by government. We seem to be able to find money everywhere when it comes to impressing our international contemporaries. Let's focus on seeing if we can provide resources to look after our own people on this occasion.
Mark, thank you very much for joining us. That's TD Mark McSherry. Conor Faulkner, listening to those conversations with some bemusement and some nodding of the head.
Yeah, I know. There's a bit of heat there as well as a bit of light, isn't there? Look, it's not an insult to anybody for the SAMI to give fuel-saving tips when fuel is really expensive. Now, yeah, a lot of motorists know it themselves. Bit of common sense. Turn off the aircon. Take unnecessary weight out of the car. Keep the car in good order. Drive sensibly. All good advice. Also shop around for fuel if you can. Again, good advice. But none of that changes the context. Fuel is at record highs in Ireland. That's not hyperbole. That's literally true. We have had oil prices this high previously. 12 years ago, 14 years ago, just before the financial crisis, oil hit nearly $150 per barrel. But at that time, the euro was really strong against the dollar. And that's different this time around. We have a very
We're almost at parity.
Now, back before the financial crisis, you could get, you know, 140 or more to the euro.
So that brought the price of the pump down.
That effectively brought the price of the pump down. So we have actually had oil prices higher than they are at the moment, but we've never had retail fuel prices because the dollar factor plays in as well.
So if you have the dollar bit, which is the base price, if you like, on top of which everything is added, there's a kind of a multiplier effect because the higher that base price is, the more VAT that you get. Now, excise, of course, is fixed per litre.
Yes, as is carbon tax.
So as is carbon tax. So it's the VAT that multiplies everything up.
Yeah, that's right. And there are strict rules about VAT in terms of our European budget contribution, etc. It's not actually easy for a government to touch it, but it's relatively easy for the government to touch the excise duty, which is the big chunk of tax that is on fuel. Now, they reduced it once already in March, which was a good move. And I think it makes sense for them to reduce that again. It will mean foregoing some revenue. But where that money goes is a typical family, just to kind of humanise it. I don't think it's an urban-rural divide. But if you're doing typical mileage, you might be paying in the order of, say 6 or 8 months ago, you might have paid in the order of 240, 250 euro per month for fuel for your car. That's now probably 420 and
it's
rising.
A big chunk of money.
Is huge. It's the single biggest inflationary impact that everybody is feeling. And it's not urban, rural, you know, South Dublin resident with a brand new electric car might be feeling a little smugger than usual. And there's no doubt that a high mileage rural driver is going to feel the pinch more, or a delivery company or a small business. But it's hurting everybody. It's hurting absolutely everybody. And funnily enough, the more the economy recovers and activity recovers, the more that pain is felt.
Some of our listeners are remembering things. Back in the 70s with the oil crisis, the national speed limit was actually reduced, he says, by 5 miles per hour. Which
That's true.
8 kilometres or whatever.
Yeah, and you could consider measures like that, although the impact I'd suggest would be marginal, and vehicles are much more fuel efficient than they used to be. So again, you know, a little bit, I won't use the word insulting, but, you know, the most you're going to get with that is a bit of a gesture or a bit of a tweak. It's not affecting the substantive issue. Government return to the excise duty. Now, that would indeed be a substantive measure. And if you're government, I guess you're wondering, what is going to happen next? Do we believe, as some economists say, that this oil price spike is a transient thing? It's post-COVID, that we'll adjust to the Russian supply situation and the medium-term prospects are it'll come down.
Well, that seems to be the case. OPEC are going to pump more.
Yeah.
The Russians will have to find other markets for their fuel, but they'll come in cheap when they're selling into those other markets. The people who are currently supplying those markets will be displaced by cheap Russian fuel, and will have surpluses which they'll want to sell.
And you think the arrows will then all point in the correct direction. So is this, and this has been debated even before the Ukraine conflict broke out, when we emerged from COVID, because oil prices actually went negative during the COVID pandemic. The value of a barrel of oil was less than zero. People were charging to take it off your hands. And the discussion then was, will the supply chain kick up and will we have a temporary spike that washes through, or will we have something sustained? And that's still the gamble that the European Central Bank are looking at and the Irish government are looking at too.
And of course, if the euro does improve against the dollar with interest hikes by the European Central Bank, it will help us a little bit. Some of the texts. They want us to reduce driving to save the planet and up the price of petrol for driving from A to B here in Ireland. But on the other hand, they've no issue with people flying to Spain for €25 each way. Mm. Surely we should up the price of holiday flights and cut down on the price of driving here in Ireland. Here's a solution to the fuel cost issue. Get the government to help more with electric car grants. Mm-hmm. 30k for an electric van is nuts. Now, the price of electric cars is coming down slowly as battery technology improves and so on. But batteries might be, you know, in short supply simply because of supply chain shortages all over the world.
Well, actually, I think the electric car revolution is well underway, and the amount of capital that's being spent into electric car R&D, I mean, Volkswagen alone is spending, I think, sort of €5 billion per year on it. So I think all of that supply is coming. At the moment, electric cars have a tax advantage over conventional cars. But even with that tax advantage, they're still a bit too pricey.
Okay. One of the ideas that I would push is that for businesses, that the government rewards businesses for investing in electric cars, because most people buy their private car. Now, not everybody. Mm-hmm. They buy it secondhand.
Yeah.
They don't buy a brand new spanking car off the forecourt. They buy on the second-hand market. And if there are no electric cars yet, really, in any great numbers on the second-car market, and to get people to drive electric, we've got to have a huge number of second-hand electric cars, and the best way to achieve that is get companies to buy them.
It's a managed transition is what we're after, and you're dead right. I mean, the pattern in Ireland for years and years is about 2 or 2.5 used car sales for every new car sale. So typically, people buy second-hand cars, and you've got to wait for the current generation of EVs, which is really the first generation that are properly equivalent to their petrol and diesel rivals. No compromises involved, you know, not like the little small ones that we had 10 years ago. Yeah. These are vehicles that are every bit as good and better as their petrol and diesel equivalents, but they're young. So it'll take a few years for a wide range of those to be available secondhand. What you can do in the meantime is you can consider scrappage schemes, which was done successfully in the past. Irish government in the past was able to pivot on a dime and switch the entire population from petrol to diesel with tax incentives, because that was the right thing to do. Pivot on a dime worked beautifully. We could do the same for electric, but it would need a bit more comprehensive support from government than they
are
currently
providing. And also make sure the charging network is
all of that
sufficient. And there are some people who live in apartments where there are no charging points.
Yeah.
People who live on terraced housing, no access to, you know, there are all sorts of issues.
You have plenty of what planners will call edge cases that you kind of need to plan around. But yes, a very significant challenge there beyond just reducing the cost of them, which government should also do.
I'll read you some of the texts. During the pandemic, we all pulled together and helped our neighbours, friends and the elderly. Local link services are improving. Mm. Are the Healy Rays and other TDs telling us we can't offer neighbours to get to their shopping, etc., each day to help with this situation? Come on. We cannot back down on carbon taxes, but we must insist that those taxes are spent ensuring that the most dependent in society are lifted out of fuel poverty by deep retrofitting of their homes or assisting in changing to EVs. Lifting people out of fuel poverty is the key to success of that carbon tax. Public transport, first train from Kilkenny to Waterford leaves Kilkenny at 9:07. No use to any work commuter. Returns at 18:25. That's from Tom. A very simple solution to reducing the use of private cars would be a national school bus system, similar to the States and made available to everyone. This would cut down on the huge numbers that use cars for the school run only, and also cut down on traffic congestion. Myself and my wife both pay £130 a week each on diesel. It's so hard. I'm having to drop to a 4-day week. We're paying more on diesel than we're paying on our mortgage. That's from James. I know that Minister Eamon Ryan got lambasted for his remarks about saving fuel, but since roughly the same time, I started to really pay attention to the way I drive and accelerate in particular. I've roughly been saving 25% in fuel costs. I was getting roughly 500 kilometres for a full tank, now 650. So it's totally worth your while slowing down. That's from Stephen. Back in the early 2000s, there were lots of warnings about unsustainability of living in one-off houses in isolated rural areas by the Greens and others, but they were derided and ignored, and the biggest relocation to rural locations in the history of the country was allowed to continue unimpeded. Now, the same people that were outraged at some such comments 20 years ago, want to be bailed out for their own poor decisions. This crisis will pass, but there will be many more down the road. As regards getting essential items in the country, why don't they bring back the travelling shop or van that we used to have in Donegal? It called twice a week to those who didn't have a car or transport. My fill has gone from 85 to 130 euros. I can afford it, but lots cannot. If you travel anywhere in Ireland, the regional roads are very busy. They're all local people going about their business. Try cycling on small rural roads without footpaths. We are reaping rewards for no joined up or government or council thinking on anything. The issue for company vehicles is that all bar a very select few hybrid vehicles are petrol hybrid. You're unable to reclaim the VAT on petrol. Therefore, it makes no sense from a company point of view. They can only claim the VAT back on diesel.
You can get a company car as an electric car for no benefit.
What do you do for the cost of, can you reclaim the cost of the electricity?
Let's ask an accountant, Pat, I guess. If you're a sole trader or something, I suppose you probably can. But in terms of getting a company car from your employer, there's a very good tax advantage in going electric.
And it's going to end, isn't it?
Yeah, and we were touching on that earlier. It's one of those things that electric cars have a big tax advantage, but it's not quite enough. They're still pricey. The big tax advantage that they have is made up of a few different things, including grants to put the charge point at your home and various other bits and pieces.
Okay. The final point we'll deal with very briefly. There was an opinion piece from a doctor about 30 kilometres per hour and what it would do to save lives and so on. You have a slight disagreement with that. It's not about saving lives, 30k.
Yeah, well, this is Catherine Conlon in the Irish Independent. A very good piece. And, I've met Catherine Conlon. I do like what she writes. And I think she makes a couple of really nice, important points. I guess what I would say is that they're points about the climate situation, quality of life, and the look and feel of our towns and cities, what sort of environments we want to live in. Really important points, really good arguments. Not truly, in my view, a road safety argument. I just don't think it's a road safety
issue.
It's a quality of life argument, and we should have it on that basis. I think it blurs things a little bit when road safety gets lassoed into different conversations, because it's emotive, and the person instinctively thinks, oh yes, let's save lives. But I don't think truly that's what Catherine's piece is about, despite its headline.
Conor Faulkner, transport consultant, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.